This is Akashwani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on prowess of Indian Navy, the strategic pillar of national security. The participants are Commodore Srikant Kesnur, defense analyst, and Gaurav Dhawanlal, anchor.
Hello and welcome to our program. Our topic today is prowess of the Indian Navy, a strategic pillar of national security. We're delighted to have with us for the program Commodore Srikant Kesnur, who is naval expert and a security analyst. Commodore Kesnur, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Let's begin straight away. As a services expert, as somebody who's been in the services for so long, and I think the understanding of how we celebrate, and in this case, the Naval Day, a little bit about the significance of Navy Day, and I think over the years, how have the celebrations evolved?
The Navy Day, as would be obvious, celebrates the Indian Navy, its service to the nation, and is a reflection of the high regard with which the country holds the Indian Navy. Now, the Indian Navy used to celebrate the Navy Day on the 15th of December earlier due to a variety of reasons. But after the 1971 war, from 1972 onwards, it was decided that it would be celebrated on the 4th of December in commemoration of the Navy's brilliant show in the 1971 war. As you are aware, the war started on the 3rd of December, and immediately on the 4th, the Navy delivered opening blows in the east and in the west. In the east, in the Bay of Bengal, where the INS Vikrant was deployed, and it completely choked and strangulated East Pakistan, bombarding a whole lot of installations, maritime ports there. And in the west, a kind of audacious attack took place on the very citadel of Pakistan Navy, Karachi, wherein three Indian Navy missile boats and what is memorably called Operation Trident, you know, destroyed a whole lot of Pakistani Navy ships, sank them, and damaged the refinery, the Kemari oil refinery. This was followed with another attack on the 8th of December called the Operation Python, which further, you know, sank and damaged more ships and again put the refinery on fire, whereby the Pakistan surface fleet virtually gave up. They remained bottled in harbor. In the east, two relentless attacks happened. So cumulatively, as an outcome of all that the Navy did from the 4th until the end of the war, the naval authorities decided that hereafter, 4th December would be celebrated as the Navy Day. So the Navy Day, of course, celebrates our brilliant exploits in the 71 war. But over the last 50 plus years have evolved. They've evolved in different ways. We commemorate the past. We reflect upon the growth of the Navy. We remember all those who passed away in the line of duty. Remember that the navies operate away from people beyond the horizon. So the Navy Day and Navy Week provides an opportunity for Navy to connect with the public in terms of operational demonstration, in terms of ships being open to visitors, in terms of beating retreat and band concerts, and various different ways. Like we are having operational demo on the Blue Flag Beach at Puri today. So that's how essentially the Navy connects and celebrates the Navy.
Right. You did mention Puri and you did mention about connecting with the people. Well, India's first citizen, the President of India, was in Puri today. And to commemorate and celebrate Navy Day there, let's take a brief listen into what all happened.
India has always been a strong maritime nation, our fortunes, glory and identity being defined by the sea. As India's economy grows and our interest and influence expand across the globe, I am confident that the Indian Navy will continue to ensure maritime security, essential to enable our rise to a Viksit Bharat by 2047.
While we talk of Navy Day celebrations, the Naval Chief had this to say.
Our bilateral and multilateral engagements have enhanced cooperation with other navies and reinforced India's image as a responsible partner towards ensuring security and growth for all in the region, in line with the vision of our Honorable Prime Minister. Today's operational demonstration has attempted to capture a slice of what we do at sea, demonstrating Navy's professionalism and our sense of purpose.
So, Commodore Kesnur, you know, when we talk of India's long coastline, we also know that a stellar job is being done by the Indian Navy. And I think, the nuances of guarding a coastline, the details of the, absolutely heroic exploits of the Indian Navy during any time of conflict. And I think the more and more the public is interfacing and you're having these events where people are getting to see what the Navy is doing. And I think a lot of work has been done in the last few years, and that's really creditable. And now when we come to looking at the Indian Navy, rising as a global maritime power in terms of our equipment, in terms of our technology, how are we positioned today?
I would think we are positioned very, very well, Gaura. Remember, at independence, we were amongst the smallest navies in the world, less than half a dozen sloops, as we used to say. And sloops are usually ships of around 1,000 tons or so, small ships. From there, 75 plus years later, to become one of the most formidable navies in the world, the top four, the top five, whichever way you want to put it, is really remarkable. And I would say there are three or four broad characteristics of this growth. One is we are truly a three-dimensional or multidimensional navy, in that we operate a formidable surface force. We are excellent at naval aviation, having started that in 50s and acquiring an aircraft carrier in 61. So we are very good at flying and operating aircraft over the sea and the aircraft carrier operation. We also operate submarines, and that's been more than 50 years since 1967, 68. So we are a three-dimensional Navy and incorporating the latest in science and technology, such as cyber. We have a small but very efficient Marine Commando force. This is really a remarkable growth. The second is that this growth is anchored on making in India and Atmanirbharta. For the Indian Navy, making in India has been an article of faith. And we began with the first small ship being built in India as early as 1960. So today, almost all our ships, out of 65 ships being built for the Navy, 63 are being built in India. And these are being designed by the Navy's Warship Design Bureau. So that's another very, very remarkable thing. Third, I would believe that over a wide swath of missions, be they operational missions, be they diplomatic missions, be they maritime security and constabulary missions, be they humanitarian assistance missions, the Indian Navy has done very, very well, spectacularly well. Whether it is the aftermath of the tsunami, we are in the month of December in 2004, whether it's Op Rahat, whether it is Goa liberation in 61, whether it's the 71 war itself, whether in Operation Pavan. I mean, I could go on and on, but basically, this is the third factor, excellent performance in missions and operations. So I think the Indian Navy has grown in leaps and bounds.
So wanting to do a little deeper dive, with no pun intended, into, some of the strongest verticals that the Indian Navy has. And a lot of people are now talking about the MARCOS or the Marine Commandos. Do tell us a little more about this elite force.
As we said, the Marine Commandos is an elite force. Marine Commandos do special operations. And by definition, these special operations are operations that even the normal cutting-edge forces, whether in Army, Navy or Air Force, so these are commandos specifically trained in all three senses. Now, coming specifically to Navy's Marine Commandos, initially we trained our divers. Our diving branch started in the 60s. Our Marine Commando force started only in the 80s. In fact, it began just around the time of Operation Pavan in the late 80s and was initially called as the Indian Marine Special Force. And it distinguished itself immediately in the Sri Lanka operations, winning several gallantry awards, including a Mahavir Chakra for then, Lieutenant Commander Arvind Singh. Thereafter, the MARCOS has grown. Now, a special force can't really expand hugely because you have the most elite people. You've got to go through real selection process to be there. But thereafter, the force has grown. And over the last few years, I think we've operated in different ways. The MARCOS, not many people know, put up an excellent show even on 26/11 when the attacks in Bombay happened. The MARCOS have been deployed along with the army troops in the Jammu and Kashmir area. More recently, the MARCOS put up a fantastic display when we airdropped our commandos, when a hijacked ship, a pirated ship called the MV Ruin, sought to escape from Somalia. And it was the Indian force that intercepted that ship. So the Indian MARCOS are very, very highly regarded. They go through some of the toughest selection processes.
Absolutely. Wanting now to do a little zoom out to India and its neighborhood. The The Navy's commitment to regional stability, what are some initiatives that the Indian Navy has actually taken in this direction?
Now, navies, by their intrinsic nature, because they operate in a multilateral medium, are very good at diplomacy. The ships combine both hard power and soft power. Calibrated power can be put on shore, you know, in far reaches of the world. So they're very good. But however, a country should have the right knowledge in terms of using them. And that has been happening, I would say, with great success over the last many years. Now, there is an overarching vision that the Honorable Prime Minister has given us called Sagar, Security and Growth for All in the Region. And that's our vision and mantra. So within that, the Navy positions itself as a preferred security partner and the first responder in case of any crisis or humanitarian missions in this region. And if you see over the years, the Navy has done exactly that. What are the various multilateral initiatives? First, we have formed lots of forums, something called the Indian Ocean Naval Symposium, something called the Goa Maritime Conclave. These are groupings of various nations that operate in the region, discuss collaborative ways to meet maritime security challenges, where India has often been the pioneer and catalyst, and countries around the world and in this region particularly. The second is that we are operating what is called an International Fusion Center in Gurugram, which integrates a lot of information about white shipping or shipping at sea. Now, the seas, you know, tend to be very, opaque in terms of who is operating there. So information about merchant ships, integrating all the data, giving it to nations that don't have that capability, the Indian Navy is doing it. The another vertical where the Navy is excellent is hydrography, or what is called ocean surveying and mapping. And we have developed some fantastic global skills, which we share readily with countries, with our partner nations, and help to survey their coastlines, help to survey their EEZ, which, you know, in turn enhances their claim in delineating their boundaries. Fourth, we join up with various countries in counter-piracy, you know, collaborative missions, because often they don't have full capabilities to counter various maritime security threats, and India gives that. So be it joint exercises with global powers like USA, Russia, France, United Kingdom, or other nations, or be it giving maritime security to other nations, or be it operating forums. You know, this is really one area where the Indian Navy is doing so well.
In fact, you know, Commander Kesnur, All India Radio, by virtue of its reach, has access to this largest pool of bright young people who would actually be drawn into joining the Indian Navy. Why would a young person want to come in to the Indian Navy? What does it hold for them?
I'm so glad you asked this question, because I believe that the Indian Navy needs young people. But why should young people choose Indian Navy? One is that you always join companies that are doing well. And the Indian Navy, if you were to look at it as a corporate statement, is on a very bullish, you know, trajectory. It's growing qualitatively and quantitatively. The second is that it is a life of adventure. You know, something that combines adventure, a sense of national service, and a commitment to your motherland is, I think, very good. The third is that the wide choices in terms of arms, in terms of whether you want to fly, whether you want to do hydrography, whether you want to be an engineer or an executive person, allows you the widest leeway for human resource development. Above all, the kind of camaraderie and friendship, you know, the kind of interconnectedness that happens in the armed forces and the Navy are something to cherish for a lifetime. There are a million other reasons, but I think the Indian Navy is going to be one of the most spectacular success stories going into the future.
Right.
So I think young people should sign up for it.
Right. As they say, you know, you can get the person out of the uniform, but you can't get the uniform out of the person. Well-known
Absolutely.
Saying.
Absolutely.
Right. Commander Kesnur, thank you so much for adding such tremendous value to our program. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
You were listening to a discussion on Prowess of Indian Navy, the Strategic Pillar of National Security. The participants were Commodore Srikant Kesnur, Defence Analyst, and Gaurav Dhawanlal, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.